Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, for the message this morning. Matthew, chapter 12. This is a tremendous chapter. I will not take time to read you the entire chapter. There are 50 verses in it. But there's a lot that happened in this chapter. The Lord is in the midst of his public ministry, and he is doing battle with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other religious groups that were opposed to him. He is healing folks. There was in verse 10, there was a man that came into the synagogue that had a withered hand, and the Lord miraculously healed this fella right in front of everybody. And of course, the Pharisees were just appalled by that, and they tried to use it against him. In verse 22, we read that there was a man that was possessed of a devil. And he was blind and dumb, and the Lord healed this man. And it was just a miraculous thing. Well, that fired the Pharisees up, and they started saying that he was casting out devils in the power of the devil, that it was the devil who was giving him power to cast out devils. And, of course, through that we have the great teaching that he gave concerning the unpardonable sin. And it just keeps going in this chapter. And the Lord is doing some teaching and some preaching. He's healing. He is explaining salvation. It's just a tremendous chapter. But now look, please, if you will, at verse 46. When you get down to the end of the chapter, verse 46 says, "And while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them," or to him that told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Now, I want you to go back, please, to verse 47. Actually, it's in verse 46 and in verse 47. But I want you to notice that in verse 47, it said, "Behold, thy mother and brethren stand without." Stand without. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. His mother stood without. His mother stood without. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. And Lord, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come to church and open the Bible and not fear that some government official or some policeman is going to come in here and stop us. Lord, we're thankful for the freedom to preach the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you will help us not to take that freedom lightly, but may we, Lord, value the privilege that we have. And I pray now that you will bless as the Word of God is preached. And Lord, give us understanding. I pray the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And Father, that we this morning might glean something that will encourage us and strengthen us in our faith. And Lord, thank you for the example of Mother. And Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to take a few minutes and learn about Mother's influence and how we need to appreciate our mothers. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Bless us, we ask now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the things about the Bible that is absolutely amazing to me, and the longer I live, the more amazed I am as I see this in the Bible. But one of the things that amazes me is the way God never forgets the little things that he slips into the Bible. Just a little thing that if you're not careful, when you're reading the Bible, you will overlook that. Whereas if you'd stop and consider everything that is mentioned, you would find some things that would be a blessing to your heart. Well, when you think about it, the Bible really is a book of great detail. And here in this verse, we are told that Mary and our Lord's brothers, in other words, her sons, were all standing outside while the Lord was dealing with these Pharisees and this crowd of people in the synagogue. It was evidently so crowded that folks couldn't get inside. And so Mary and our Lord's half-brothers, of course, her sons, were all outside of the synagogue, and they were wanting to see the Lord. They were wanting to speak with him. And so they sent word inside. They sent someone inside to see the Lord and to give him this message that she was out there and that she wanted to speak with him. Now, the little phrase "stood without" kind of stuck out to me. And so I started thinking about that a little bit and put together this little message this morning that I trust will be a blessing to you. Stood without. Now, nothing in the Bible is in there without a purpose. Nothing in the Bible is there without a reason. There is nothing in the Bible that is there as filler material. All right, it's not like God ever ran out of stuff to say and thought, well, I'll just put this in there to occupy some space. No, that's not the way the Bible was designed by God. Throughout the whole of the New Testament, there are these little statements that have to do with Mary, who was the mother of Christ. All through the gospel, and also in some of the other books of the New Testament. And it's amazing that when you find one of these little statements about Mary, that most of them have nothing to do with the main body of the story that's being told by the Lord or by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was very careful on a number of occasions that while a story was being told about Christ, the Holy Spirit led the writer, either Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, to write in the text that Mary was there when whatever is being told was happening. And I think that's interesting. It's not just once, it's several times. While a story is being told, we are told then that Mary was present. You'll find several times in the scripture, it'll tell you something that happened or something that the Lord did or something that the Lord said. And then it's almost like it's a parenthesis is put there. And the writer says, and the mother of Jesus was there. Or it'll say, and Mary, his mother, was there. Or in, as it is in this case, where it says, and his mother and his brethren stood without. Now, I think that our Lord wanted us to understand and wanted us to see and know that Mary was there. That every place he went in that 3.5 year period, she was there. Now, she's not always standing out. She is not always, clearly seen. But I think the implication is that during our Lord's 3.5 year ministry, that his mother was in the crowd. She was always there. She was always watching. You see, there is just something calming about mom being there. I cannot tell you how many times in 34 years I have walked across a platform getting where I've been asked to preach, either here at our church or in somebody else's church in America. I cannot tell you how many times I've walked across the platform and I've thought about how wonderful it would be if my mother was still living and was able to be there in that service. The first time that Dr. Smith ever asked me to speak at a National Sword Conference, which I think this year will be my 16th year or my 17th year, I don't remember. But the first time that he ever asked me to speak, as I was standing on the platform, of course, nervous as I could be, my heart beating out of my chest. You ever been so nervous you could hear your heart beating in your ears? Well, that's how I was that morning. And I remember it well. And I remember thinking, man, would my mother be proud if she could be here today while Dr. Smith introduces me to speak at the National Sword of the Lord Conference? And that often crosses my mind as I think how proud my mother would be, how happy she would be, and without a doubt, she would be the most excited person in the room. There's just something comforting. There's just something calming about mom being there. You see, when you read the Bible, it is clear that the Lord Jesus is the one standing at center stage. From Matthew to John, there's no doubt on every page, the person where the light is shining the brightest is upon the Lord Jesus. When you read the Bible, he's the central figure. He's the hero. He's the main character. He's the center of focus. But even though the spotlight is upon him and every eye is watching his every move, make no mistake about it, standing in the shadows was his mother, Mary. It seems that no matter what he's doing in the four Gospels, she was there. For example, do you remember his first miracle? You remember when he was first thrust into his earthly ministry. We are told about it in John chapter 2. And we're told that there was a wedding that was taking place in Cana, which was just the next town over from where they lived in Nazareth. And we are told that Jesus and his disciples were there. And the Bible also says, again, in parentheses, the Bible also says that the mother of Jesus was there. And it was at that wedding feast where, you remember, they ran out of refreshments. And Mary said to her son, to the Lord, why don't you take care of this problem? Son, they have no wine. They've run out of refreshments. And Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And Mary does not stand there and argue in typical mother fashion. She just turns to the servants that were there and says to them, whatever he says to you, do it. And she pushed him to begin his earthly ministry. And it was there where Jesus started his earthly ministry and turned the water into wine. A fantastic miracle in and of itself. But we're told that Mary was there. In this situation, in this story, I mean, some of the greatest deeds that were done, some of the greatest messages that were preached and lessons that were taught are given in this 12th chapter. And we are told that Mary was there. So it seems that almost everywhere you turn in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the four Gospels, almost every place you turn, there is Mary standing off in the shadows while the Lord was doing his ministry. Now, the light was shining upon Jesus, when the demon was cast out of this poor man, but Mary was there. The light was shining upon Jesus when that man with a withered arm had his arm miraculously healed. But Mary was there. Can I remind you that in John 19:25, when Jesus was hanging on Calvary's cross, and when God in the flesh was paying the penalty that you and I owe for sin, and when the nails were driven into his hands and into his feet, and when he was hanging there in open shame, the Holy Spirit led John to tell us, now there stood by the cross his mother, the mother of Jesus. And when you leave the Gospels, and when you turn to the book of Acts, the Lord Jesus takes his disciples to the top of the Mount of Olives. And before the disciples, he ascends to the right hand of God the Father. And then the disciples come off the hill, and they go back to the upper room to pray and to wait. And when you leave the Gospels, and you turn to the book of Acts, and you get into the first chapter, you find out that Luke is very careful to tell us that in that upper room was Mary, the mother of Christ. It's absolutely amazing. She is always mentioned, and she was just always there. But I want you to notice this about that part of the story. She was always there, but she was always in the background. She was always there, but she was always in the background. As you read the Bible, you cannot help but see that she's there at every turn of the road. During that 3.5 years of our Lord's earthly ministry, she was always there. And I want you to notice, the Lord Jesus never made a fuss about her. He never did. He never even mentioned that she was there. The biggest role she ever played was in John 2, where she pushed him into beginning his earthly ministry. But she was always there. But now think about this. Don't you think that our Lord received strength as he looked around during that 3.5 years and noticed that his mother was always there? I'm sure that it always brought comfort to his heart. I remember when I was a kid, if I got sick, if I caught a cold or whatever the case may be, it was always good to know that Mom was there and that Mom was going to be able to fix it. Mom was going to be able to take care of it. You look at a little child, when that child falls down, they don't yell for Daddy. They yell for Mama. It's always that way. I mean, Mom just knows what to do. And every mother's child knows that Mom just knows what to do. I mean, it's not going to do any good to call Dad. The child knows that. Dad's just going to stand there and freak out when he sees blood. But Mom knows how to handle it. Don't you think our Lord took strength when he was able to look around and see that his mother was in the crowd? I certainly do. My mother only heard me preach one time. One time. Glenn Matthews was scheduled to preach a revival meeting, and he had a kidney stone. Now, he didn't call me that morning or even the day before. He waited until 5:00 in the evening, and church started at 7:00. And he called me and he said, you've got to go around to West Virginia, a little town. And there was a Ruth Baptist Church there. And he said, you've got to go to Ruth and preach for me tonight. And I said, Glenn, I just got home from work and it's 5:00. And he said, yeah, you got plenty of time. Hurry. Now, you didn't tell him no. So I got in the shower, and grabbed something to eat on the way out. I grabbed my Bible and I went to church. Now, I got there at 5 minutes till seven. And the pastor said, I want you to sit on the front row and then I'll introduce you and you come up and preach. And the place was packed that night. And so they had some folks that were going to sing, and the platform was just not big enough for everybody to sit up there. So he had me sit on the front row. So those people like to sing. So sing they did for about an hour. But what they didn't realize is that I like to preach. And so I sat there for an hour and waited until it was my turn. And so when it was my turn, I got up and I thought, if you folks are going to sit here and sing all night, you're going to sit here and listen to me preach the rest of the night. And so I preached my entire sermon. Well, God blessed in a great way. But you know, the amazing thing was when I got up and said, open your Bible, I looked back and over on the right-hand side, my right, the church's left, on the second row from the back, right over on the aisle was my mother. That's the only time she ever heard me preach. And I was a little nervous when I looked up and saw she was there, because I knew what I had in front of me, and it wasn't all that good. I mean, it was the best I could do at 19 years of age, but I knew that it was not going to be a barn burner. I knew that. But nonetheless, I got over my jitters real quick, and I preached as hard as I could preach that night. And we had several folks saved and many others at the altar, and God blessed in a miraculous way. I know, looking back on it now, that I was encouraged and I was strengthened by my mother's presence while I was preaching that night. There is no doubt in my mind. And I can imagine the Lord Jesus was encouraged and strengthened by Mary's presence during his 3.5 years of earthly ministry. I figure she was like an unknown soldier about whom little was said. She was like silent support. She was like silent support through whom he could look over to every now and then and garner some strength and energy to keep going. And the light was never shining upon her, but that did not dissuade her at all. She was never handed the microphone. She was never given the floor. She was never pushed to the front and asked to speak. She was always in the shadows. And yet there is never any indication that she ever had a problem with any of that. As a matter of fact, what we read in the Bible in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19 is this. When the focus was upon Jesus, even though he was, when he was a little baby, the Bible says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in his heart, in her heart. She didn't say much, but she pondered all that was happening with her son. She pondered that in her heart. And folks, that's the way it is with all great mothers. In God's design of the home and with the characters that make up the home, this is the greatest accomplishment for any mother. To watch those connected to her rise to great heights and to be an influence upon others. A godly woman is happy when she can sit in the shadows and watch her son or watch her daughter or watch her husband do something wonderful for God. And she gains her joy by pondering all those things in her heart. For she realizes that their accomplishments were not done alone, but they were done under her guidance. They were done with her tutelage. They were done with her love and encouragement and her motivation. And that those things are what brought out their abilities to do the things that they did for the Lord. Going back to when my mother heard me preach, I got home a little later than she did that night. And I'll never forget when I walked in, she was sitting on the couch. And I came in and went to my room and took off my suit and hung it up and changed into some grubby clothes and came back outside and sat down on the couch. And I said, "You didn't tell me you were coming." She said, "Well, I was hoping you would invite me to come." And I said, "Well, it was awful late notice. I didn't think you'd want to go." And she said, "Are you kidding me to get to hear my son preach?" And I said, "Well, I said, sorry, Mom, you should have said something." She looked at me and said, "No, you should have said something." And I said, "Point well taken." And I felt bad for not inviting her to come. It's not that I just thought it was too late. I just was in a hurry and I didn't think she'd want to go. But I was wrong on that. So after about 10, 15 minutes sitting there, we were watching something on TV and it went to commercial. And I stood up and started in the kitchen to get something to munch on. And as I walked by, she's smiling from ear to ear and she said, "I sure heard some good preaching tonight." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, Mom, you're probably just a little biased in your opinion." And she said, "Oh, no." She said, "I know good preaching when I hear it. And that was some good preaching I heard tonight." And she was so proud. She was so thrilled, so happy. I remember standing there after the service and I was up front. And I remember standing there looking back. And everybody, the pastor had told everybody, he said, "Now greet the visitors, make everybody feel welcome." And so folks were coming because that's the first time she had ever been in that church. And I remember looking back as I was standing on the first step and folks were shaking hands with me. And I remember looking back and I remember the smile on her face. And every time she would shake somebody's hand, she would point towards me. She was telling everybody, "That boy that preached tonight, that was my son." She was so proud, so happy. I kind of feel that Mary felt the same way, don't you? I kind of feel that way. Let me give you something to think about. You know, many a great men, and many a great preachers, have had worthless fathers. But we don't find many great men, there are some, but not many, who had bad mothers. That's strange, isn't it? But if you will check the record, you'll find that to be the truth. I could call off name after name of great men in history and of great preachers in history whose dads were horrible people, alcoholics, atheists, lazy, do nothing bums, lawbreakers. I mean, you name it. Men that never did an honest day's work in their life. But just about every great person and just about every preacher throughout history who has been greatly used of God, you check it out, you'll find it true, had a godly mother who was standing in the shadows and who was used of God to mold and fashion and shape that preacher into the kind of person that God could use for his honor and his glory. You look at Moses, for example. What a great and mighty man was Moses. Moses, the man that took the rod and stuck it in the Red Sea and the waters parted and 3 million people walked across the Red Sea as it had been pushed back and blown back by God. They walked across where the waters lay without even getting their feet wet. That's the Moses I'm talking about. Oh, wait a minute. Behind Moses was a sweet mother whose name was Jochebed, who took a little ark that she made out of the reeds and carefully with her own hands crafted it together and daubed it with pitch to make sure that it wouldn't leak. And very carefully, she placed her baby in that ark and laid it in the bulrushes at just the exact time when she knew the Pharaoh's daughter would be coming to bathe herself. And boy, on cue, Moses began to cry. And she went over, picked that baby up and held that baby in her arms. And on cue, those little old fat hands and those little old fat feet began to kick. She looked into the eyes of that princess and the heart of that princess began to melt. But you can be assured that standing off to the side in the shadows, you can be assured where not out in front, oh no, but watching the whole scene from a distance, there was the real mother of Moses standing there praying. And God answered the prayers. And that princess said, we're not going to throw this baby in the river. Look at this beautiful baby. And she looked down at her servant and said, go find me a Hebrew woman who can nurse this child. And who do you think was the woman chosen to nurse that child? It was his own mother. Think of John the Baptist. Here's the man who said, he, speaking of Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. Here's the man who said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus said of John, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Behind John was a lovely woman, though. Her name was Elizabeth, his mother. And she was standing in the shadows the whole time the spotlight was shining upon her son. Now, folks, here's the point. Jesus honored his mother, and so should we. We ought to honor our mothers. She was always there. She was always standing off to the side. She was perfectly content to let the light shine upon her son. Jesus honored his mother. Now, let me show you how he did it. That entire 3.5 years, you read it, Matthew through John, you read it. The entire 3.5 years, and not one time does she ever come out and take the center focus. It's always on him. But you get over into John chapter 19. They come and arrest the Lord Jesus. And they try him illegally. And they take him the next morning and nail him naked, beaten to where Isaiah said you could not even tell that he looked like a man. And they nailed him to the cross. They took that cross and they hung it in a hole, dropped it. And there now is the Son of God hanging between heaven and earth. The blood is flowing from his brow, from his hands and his feet, from his back where they have beaten him. And there he hangs. The first thing he said as he looked over that mob that was crucifying him was he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the first thing he said. But then a little time went by, and he was trying to get the energy to speak again. I'm sure that everybody there started to hush the folks around him quiet. He's going to speak again. I wonder what he's going to say. Somebody probably thought, one of the disciples probably thought, here's where the judgment's going to come. Boy, you wait till he speaks again. He's going to judge every one of these people. You watch. But he doesn't do that. He looked out over that crowd. And when the crowd silenced and looked at him, when all the attention was focused upon him, he looked down to John. And right beside of John was his mother, Mary. And with all the strength he could muster, he said, "John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." Think about that, folks. He stopped on the way to pay the penalty for your sins and mine to take care of his mother. Now, if the Lord Jesus could honor his mother, I think we ought to honor ours. Would he call for judgment? Would he condemn them? Would he condemn them all to burn in hell for eternity? What would he say? And finally he speaks. And amazingly, what he says has nothing to do with eternity. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with atonement. It has nothing to do with all of mankind. But instead, he stopped dying long enough to make sure that John was going to take care of his mother after he was dead and gone back to heaven. I don't know about you folks, but that impresses me. The biggest hour in all of time. And Jesus says, "John, you make sure you take care of mama." Let me tell you something, folks. Back when he was a little baby and the rich wise men came from Babylon and brought gold and frankincense and myrrh, Mary stayed in the shadows. When he was a baby and they took him to the temple and Simeon held him up before God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Jesus had the spotlight on him. Mary was off in the shadows. When the prophetess Anna saw him, she shouted and she praised God and she worshiped the baby. But Mary stayed over in the shadows. When Jesus was questioned by the doctors and the lawyers at 12 years of age, the spotlight was on Jesus. Mary was over in the shadows. And when he was hanging on the cross, that all flipped around. And the one who had invested herself in him now had him invest himself in her and promised John to take care of her. What a wonderful scene. What a wonderful story. Now I want you to take a minute and I want you to look at the blessings of God in your life. I want you to take just a moment right now and I want you to think about your home and your career and your children and your grandchildren and all that you have. Think of all the blessings that are yours. And I want you to take just a second now and realize that all of these blessings are yours because somewhere along the way, there was a woman who loved you and who guided you and who instructed you and who instilled within you the common sense to make good choices in life. Oh, she was not out in front. She was content to be in the shadows. And every one of us needs to take a minute today and be thankful for the mother that God has blessed us with. May God bless mama's memory or mama's thoughts to our hearts today.